It's Sunday morning, September 6th.
Yes, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time here today, that it would be your spirit of revelation that would be operating today, not our own good ideas, that there would be light from heaven. Oh, we ask for that, Lord. Any other light is light we really don't want. So, Lord, that you would grant us light from heaven by your spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I was about to say that I myself have never been in a position where I was kind of elevated in some high office in a church or organization or whatever, and then I was confronted with the truth, and my accepting that truth would require that I surrender that high position, that elevated spot. You know, I've never been in that situation. Now, I hope I would react so that, you know, I would be willing to say, poof, you know, who cares about the high position? Who cares about the, you know. The thing that's important is truth, so I'll surrender anything for truth. You know? That's how I hope I would respond. But, you know, for me to say, oh, yes, of course I would.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah.
Well, bring it down to a more real level. What about your peer groups?
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably harder than stepping down from a position, or, you know, or being, it's our family or peer groups that probably affect us the most of whether or not.
Mace.
Yeah, that too.
But I was, as Charlie was talking, I was thinking, it's kind of pretty good, couple of good illustrations in the Bible about just how hard that is. You think about Peter, you know, telling Jesus he wouldn't deny him, and then deny him.
Yeah, right.
Right. Once it became pretty clear it would be a really risky thing for him to do, he said, yeah, I don't think I need to be that risky. And then recognized that he was told he was going to be tested, basically failed the test, and then realized.
Yeah.
And to your point, you know, when it's made real, it becomes very hard. The rich prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to be really sensitive to the fact that when you talk to someone and you're basically going against 20 or 30 or 40 years of teachings, that they just might not suck it up 100% and be on fire for the new path.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we would have gotten there if it wasn't that God, you know, the Holy Spirit showed us. I mean, if someone else had come up to us, and
well, you know, the Holy Spirit, though, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. This is a little too expensive for me. Nicodemus, he seemed to have a heart for the truth, but he did come to Jesus by night. You know. I don't know. You know, it's...
I'm trying to have it both ways.
Yeah.
I really like what you're saying, but I can't let anybody else know.
Right.
It's on you to convince them that you're right.
I was thinking that years ago, wasn't there somebody, some Bradable, was it Bradable or something, that started preaching Jesus?
Yeah. I think, you know, when there is a Baptist or whoever who receives the Holy Spirit and doesn't keep quiet about it and gets put out of his position, that's that man's got a lot of admiration coming, as far as I'm concerned. You know?
Well, it is a statement. If you you see truth, accept it as truth, at a price. It's a lot more impressive a position or a stand to be taking than when there's no
cost.
There's no cost, right.
Yep.
Little kind of insignificant side note, I did meet the person again that wanted me to be connected to animals. And she kind of somewhat apologized. She said, I didn't mean to be so out there, she said, because I got to learn to control some of that and stuff and whatever. And I said, oh, no, fine. So I made it look, I wasn't offended or anything. So that was good. It was good. She recognized that I had been a little affected by her, whatever. So anyway, that was kind of a good thing. I mean, like little bitty steps,
The Jewish leaders talking about Christ said, if we don't stop this guy, they're going to come and destroy our nation.
Our place and nation.
Mm-hmm. And our position.
Yeah.
There's a lot more interest or concern about the position than
the nation, right?
And yet the Bible says that there were a lot of the leaders that believed in him. They actually did. You know, like the Joseph of Arimathea. And I don't know what position he had, but he believed in him enough to give up his tomb. And, you know,
I think he sort of snuck around, though. Didn't he?
Yeah.
I think a little, he was kind of quiet about it.
I think they all did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just ran across my mind the other day when I was listening, and they said, yeah, and they lengthen their phylacteries, and they want to sit in the best places, and da da da. And I thought, boy, that scripture never gets read in the church, because all of them were up front.
Yeah, sure.
In their prominent positions.
Yeah.
You see those big, when they have a big, and there's about 20, 30 of them up front.
I remember you, Keith, and it's one of the things I've had respect for you for. They put you up on the platform, and you really did not feel very comfortable up there. That's not where you wanted to be.
No, they need to elevate the pastor.
Yeah.
I thought, not this one.
Yeah.
So I hope in the future we'll keep that as a footnote.
Yep.
Nobody's sitting up front.
Yeah, right. Right. With the big shots.
Yeah.
Let me say here, Ken, that if I were in that same situation that you were talking about with the animals, I'd have been a little more diplomatic. I'd have kept my mouth shut. And I don't say that to my credit.
Yeah.
I really do not say that to my credit. You know. In fact, when I say that, it's shame on me to,
I think part of it was some of the discussions we had previous weeks or whatever, and it was kind of like, I thought, no. I'm not going to accept that. And if it would have got taken farther, I probably would have come around and said, well, let's see, my lineage goes back about 7,000 years. And that's where I'm at. I was created.
Yeah.
Because what the heck? Kind of step out of the closet a little bit once in a while. But it didn't get that far. But
sure. Well, I would, there'd be a little bit of me at the recognizing from their point of view what's going on and recognizing, hey, there are some characteristics that we share with the...
Oh, sure. I even did that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but to say that we're just one small step above, yeah, that's a different deal. No, no, no. There's a difference in, you know, there's a difference. We're made in God's image. The animals aren't.
Right. Right. It's evolved from them.
Right.
It's evolved from God's heart.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, you say, I know a lot of people think this. I'm not one of them.
Right.
God did form us out of the dust of the earth, though, and then breathed his life into us.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what the stuff that we are made of is the dust of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting off track a little bit.
He said he breathed life into us, but what did he actually breathe into us?
I guess it must have been his spirit.
His spirit.
All right.
He breathed spirit into us. If he has the body without the spirit, is dead. Once he breathed the spirit into us, we became living whatever we are.
And he kind of reinforces that at the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus says, I'm done, and he gave up the ghost.
Yeah.
Kind of to go again, the spirit was gone, mm-hmm. and flesh is dead.
So, and then John the Baptist was his hip, and it says that Jesus was given the spirit without measure. In the third chapter of John. And so that's different than just being filled with the Spirit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I'm truly aware of that.
Yeah, this is without measure.
Yeah. A little spirit versus without measure.
You can't measure it.
That's like the east from the west.
Yeah.
In my mind. Well, how big a difference is it?
And so in Colossians, it says that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Or where it says that he was the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Is that how it says that?
I think so, yeah.
What we're talking about is the presence of the Spirit and how much of the Spirit was in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, you know, God is Spirit.
You know, I read Colossians the other morning, and it's funny because it starts out and you look like, well, he's got the Son, you know, but it keeps going on, and then it equalizes it out and shows just as much that he's a man, you know.
Yeah.
But if you just take the first part of that and dwell on it, but you got to keep reading because, you know.
But most people don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
So there are a number of scriptures, proof text for the divinity of Christ that, hey, pull it out of context.
Right. You got to read around it.
Colossians, what is it, 1:19 and 2:9, I think, or something? Colossians is a proof text for the United Pentecostal Church. Both of those are proof texts. And what they do, I don't think they read the other verses. In the second chapter, you read the rest of the verses. He's a man.
Yeah, it's like it really impacted me. I went, gee, this Colossians has a lot to say.
Mm.
And,
yeah.
And and there's a lot of truth if you're open, because it really lays it out that he's the Son of God. You know, and the Son of Man. It's not, you know, he's not a God. He's got God-like features, maybe, but so do we if we operate in the Spirit. You know, that's the thing. Anybody that operates in the Spirit is God-like, because that's what he is, you know.
Paul prays that we be filled with the fullness of God.
Yeah.
You're going to share a lot of characteristics with God when you're filled with the fullness of God.
Which, in turn, will be sharing a lot of characteristics of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know.
So Jesus says eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. So, I mean, is not the word and important in there?
I think it is.
Yeah.
We are to know him as well. So, if he is a man and we're trying to, you know, figure him out as a spirit or as a, you know. That's why he said in there, does the spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have? He's a man. He was when he was risen from the dead, he still was a man.
If you're a Trinitarian, you don't want to dwell on that one. You move right along.
Right, that statement. If he wasn't a man, he wouldn't have to be raised from the dead.
Exactly.
Right.
You know.
But that is a good scripture, because there are a lot of people that believe that he was, that he died as a man, but he was raised as a God.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, gotta come up with something.
Yeah. We got to prove our theory.
Gotta explain this away somehow, because nobody else is doing it.
You know, on the one hand, it makes very little difference. On the other hand, it makes all the difference.
It makes all the difference, yeah. And that's why we think, well, we've been talking a long time about the humanity of Christ. You know what? We haven't talked enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because God did not design him to be a God. He designed him to be a man. And way back in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, where it says in the volume of the book, is that where it says, the volume of the book,
mm-hmm.
It is written to me, I came to do your will, O God. And anyway, it's a prophecy concerning Christ. He didn't come to do the God the Son's will. He came to do the Father's will.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Yeah.
That makes quite a bit of difference.
It makes a lot of difference. So he says, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, if it be your will, is it the way it is, if it be your will,
let this cup pass from you.
Yeah, change the course of what I think is going to happen. And nevertheless, he says, not my will. So, you know what? Was his will different than the Father's at that point? Well, he said, nevertheless, not my will. So did he have a will that he was fighting this?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It seems too.
Well, it seems like it. And if it was God the Son instead, there wouldn't be a separation.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man. And you know what? I think if I knew I was going to die on the cross, I don't think I'd be real happy about it. He knew he had to do it, and so he did it. Nevertheless, not my will. Which shows us the humanity, the obedience, and why he's who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if they wanted to tie that together, that the only true God and Jesus Christ you have sent. But then you got to go back and listen to Jesus all the times when he said, well, you can't know the Father without knowing the Son.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's got to be there, but it's not as a God.
No, that's right.
It's because he provided the door to the Father by, you know, shedding his blood, dying on the cross, forgiving us the sins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's there after, and the one whom you have sent, because if he hadn't sent him, you wouldn't know the Father.
Right.
You know? You wouldn't be able to know the Father.
Yeah. I wonder if in some way God would be incomplete without Jesus. Now, it's on the one hand, it's impossible for God to be anything but complete. And maybe we're talking about an impossible hypothetical.
Really. Maybe in his own mindset. Uh-huh. In God's own mindset.
Well, if he had him there, then it's because he wanted to be a complete God.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, yeah. I don't know.
No.
I don't know that I have the mind of the Spirit on that one. But
yeah. No, me either.
No. Mm. your point, though, Ken, because Jesus kept saying, I am the way.
Yeah.
And he was saying that before the cross.
Right.
So he knew that even at the end, when faced with it, God, you can do anything. So if you could make this not have to be this way, that would be fine with me. However, if you require this, then I am willing.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good way to see it.
But he knew all along, because he had the revelation. He said, you can't know the Father without knowing me.
Right.
And he was telling them all through his ministry. So he knew his purpose. And to me, that's what made that whole situation more real. Because even knowing, and even with the fullness of God that was dwelling within him, he was still saying, hey, this is a big ask. You know, this is a big thing you're asking of me.
Mm-hmm.
But he did. He went ahead and did it anyways.
Yeah.
And that's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you think it's... And you hate to say logic or anything else, but why in the world, if he was God the Son, would there be all this thing going on in the Garden of Gethsemane? You know, I mean, it's like, it would be kind of senseless, wouldn't it? Because he's only what? He's a pretend man here, you know?
Yeah.
It just, when you stop and think about it, just, it doesn't line up, you know?
But again, and that's the thing that really excites me about what God's been doing with us, because you look back after you get the revelation and you go, I don't know how I could have. Even in the natural, this doesn't hold up very well.
Yeah.
You know, in the natural, this doesn't hold up. Just letters, you go, I don't know, you know, and all of a sudden you go, oh, well, then you start reflecting on what God has done with us. They go, I get it. I see, yeah, I have to be willing to admit I don't know everything. I have to be willing to admit that there's going to be changes. I have to admit that I'm trying to prop up some man's belief, not what the book tells me. And you kind of go through all these things and you go, oh, well, now what's the book telling me once you get rid of all of these, you know, conditions of understanding? And you go, oh, this is a different story.
Yeah.
And you go, and that is why I think it's so easy for people to remain blind to the truth. I mean, A, I don't know if they're looking for it hard, and B, you're not allowing God to work.
I don't know what Jesus, I was thinking, he said to him, you're of your father the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Deception.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even know who your father really is.
Kind of interesting thing. I remember it being mentioned, mentioned from that pulpit about the line about being fully God and fully man. And we had someone in the church, it came out, you know, that's not the Bible. We had someone in the church who thought, well, no, that's in the Bible. And went to go prove it was in the Bible. And found it wasn't in the Bible. But I remember you, Corky, someone, you know, their killer response to whatever you were saying was, well, Bible says, fully God, fully man, you know. I wonder how many Christians believe that that is a biblical as opposed to a Nicene Creed. Concept.
Yeah.
You know. It is now, I mean, with God anything's possible, but it is an impossible condition to be fully God and fully man. Mm-hmm. If you are fully man, you're only man. You can't have a Siamese twin going on there of being fully God. That, I mean, to be fully man is to be not fully God, you know.
To be fully God is to be fully
fully God, right.
Fully.
Right.
Fully Fully man means you have flesh and bones, and God does not.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
God is nothing but God is 100% spirit.
They would call it, one of the great mysteries of the, it's so mysterious it can't be.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good line. Whenever you really can't explain this away in Scripture, it's a great mystery.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, it's in there, but you can't see it yet. It's a great mystery.
Yeah, and I don't think that... a synonym for mystery is nonsense. If you know what I mean, you know.
Well,
no.
Yeah, it's like if you can't prove it, he can prove it's wrong. No, it's a mystery.
Right.
Well, I don't think that's a mystery anymore. I think that's just a bad belief.
Yeah.
You're clinging to a falsehood, a deception.
What's so neat about the word is it says, "But you may know the mysteries of the Father." Of the Son.
Yeah.
I don't know if it says it in those exact words, but it says.
I think it does.
And I think this is probably what it's talking about. I'll reveal the mystery of the Father and the Son, that the Son is a man, not a God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. If you're open to it, you know, if you want a love for my truth, have a love for my truth, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that part now is not a mystery, but I can see where if you have no spirit or whatever, you're not open, that it's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Really hard to try to explain because
it's
a mystery.
You know, what we need to do, the thing to do would be for us to get such a good grasp of this thing that when the time comes, use it. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is a man, but they believe it, but they don't have a scriptural foundation for it. You know what I'm saying?
It's almost as bad. It's kind of like, this is what I believe, and the reason I believe is because someone told me. So you're just lucky you're on the right side of that one. It's not because not because the Holy Spirit has given you light.
Yeah,
someone told you once, and it just happened to be right.
If I believe it because you believe it, I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good way to look at it, too.
Yeah.
But I was going to just pipe into your other comment and say that, if you know the word but you only know the letter, then you don't know the word. And that's kind of what you were saying.
And that's a possibility. That's where the letter kills it and the spirit gives life. You have to know the spirit of the word and not just know the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know somebody that got in all kinds of trouble as a young adult, that as a teenager could recite great portions of the scriptures. And I thought, how can you do that and get in this kind of trouble that you got into? Were you... take money that don't belong to you, out of an organization.
Knowing the scripture isn't exactly the same as living it.
Oh.
No.
And we're required to live it.
Yeah. I keep on the comment on Joanne. She was convinced that it said in the Bible, a cleanliness is next to godliness. She was convinced. You ever remember her talking about it?
Maybe.
We looked. I looked too. I thought, I don't think it says that, but we looked and we looked and we looked and we looked. Finally, she came to the conclusion that she just had heard that.
That sounds like something somebody's mother said.
Yeah.
Well, I remember in my Sunday school's class room in the Presbyterian church, they had a sign up that said, cleanliness was next to godliness, so I don't know. It kind of sounds like the Bible to me.
It had to be true.
You're right.
All right.
So I'm amazed at with Shannon and Sheila as I talk to them and use some of these scriptures concerning the humanity of Christ, how understanding, and I know they're understanding it. You know what I mean? I know they're understanding it. And I'm thinking, the hour is coming. There's a lot of people out here that are like that. And, okay, so we have a prayer meeting. And I'm going to either destroy it, or it's going to get into some other thing. You know, I mean, I know it is. By bringing some truth like the one we're talking about. I should have said that on there, but I'm not going to really destroy it. But and this the people that angel is bringing to the church, you know, there comes a time when if you're in the spirit enough, that the spirit seems to reside right within the church, and you walk into the church, and you feel the spirit. That has happened here a number of times in this church.
Yeah.
And so that is my prayer. It's like, Lord, fill us with the Spirit to such a degree that when people walk in here, they are feeling the Spirit. And they want whatever they feel. But anyway.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Spirit that does the work anyway. It's not us or our looks or our goodness.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
And so, Lord, you know, we're talking about the expense of the spiritual things, and it costs. It's expensive. And on a Saturday night, many, many years ago, we were praying. I was praying up. We were up at my uncle's. We're praying to get filled, some people get filled with the Spirit. And Clayton got filled with the Spirit. And so the next morning, he could not wait to tell his church. He was pastoring the church. He couldn't wait to tell them that he had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, spoken tongues. They kicked him out. There was no more discussion. And Clayton, he feels bad today, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, but he feels bad. But what happened, that nice church that they were that he was pastoring is now a hunting club. It's no longer a church. You heard of it, the High Banks something or other. It was a High Banks church, and now it's a High Banks
You know, when you have a chance and you say, no, 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 whatever kind of blessing would have been on that place departs, I believe.
Yeah.
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 Isn't that the saying? It's right stick about it across the doorpost?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
The pastor of the Lutheran Church in Seattle, House of Prayer Lutheran Church, he was told by this Ethel Hansen that went down to the Pentecostal Assembly here. It was out in the church out there. I don't know. I can't figure any of this out, but she was out there, and she was going to prophesy, and her husband says, he saw what she was going to do, and he says, I wouldn't prophesy. I wouldn't do it. And he sat next to her, and she says, I'll talk to the pastor after the service. And she told him what was going to happen. And if the prophecy said that if he would let the Spirit move, he'd have a mighty move of God, of the Spirit in that church.
Mm.
And if not, it was going to be, the church would be dissolved. Well, it wasn't too many years after they stopped the move of the Spirit that there was no more church.
Mm. Maybe God's better will would have been done rather than through community chapel, you know? Who's to say?
But that ended up to be the foundation of the community chapel.
Yeah. Speculate about what might have been is pointless, I suppose.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jesus, the theology of Jesus starting out as a man, but then somehow becoming God, you know, at some point, whatever. And I wonder how, I guess I know the answer to it, but I wonder how you ever make an argument or, you know, lay out something that would be satisfying to someone's curiosity about that. It just seems real blurry, this deal of starting out as a man and then kind of becoming a god. I suppose you look at the book of Revelation and Jesus looks a lot like God, but that's just a lot of shock. You know, that's just the glory.
If the Bible says in John 5, it says that as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son. Which
maybe
makes
that's
it, you know what I mean?
Maybe that's the closest.
He was given to the Son to have life in himself. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I suppose.
The same kind of life.
It's an argument that it's divinity, but it doesn't. It's
the same kind of life the Father has? Is that what he gave him? And if so, how? And I don't even want to even speculate.
I think my first question to them would be, well, are you going to be are you going to be God? Well, no. Well, it says you're going to be as he is when he comes back.
I was going to say something a little earlier about that. It says that when he appears, we're going to be like him.
Right.
And then here's what it says. For we will see him as he is. Which means that's how he is right now.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's already in this glorified state, and
see, with our especially natural little brains, you know, how can you begin to think of what God can do? You know, and when he says glorify, we have no idea what that means.
No, we don't.
Or how great the extent of it is.
Yeah.
We know it happened with Jesus, and we know that it, my goodness, it gave him, it looks like all the same qualities of God, because he can know and see and everything, you know, just as God does, more than I would say. Except, it says even he does not know the time of the end, you know,
then
God rolls it all up. So,
I don't think it is out of line for us to pray to Jesus, though.
No, I don't either. No.
First of all, it says in the Bible too, I think.
You'd be asking for help all the time. I mean, that's.
As opposed to what? No, don't. I mean, he's just a man. You have to pray to God. God's the one that's, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not the way. That's not the deal.
He says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
Right.
So
but I suppose someone could say, "Wow."
Well, maybe it's
if he's just a man, why would you pray? You know,
maybe it's not praying. Maybe it's worship. Why would you worship if he's just a man? And it does say that, you know, that they worship.
Now he had to go through Jesus.
Huh?
And go through the Son to the Father. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so it is a prayer. Prayer to Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And see, I think sometimes maybe we put way too much or we taint or something the word worship. you know, worship, does it have to be a deity? Of course, it said, you know, you wouldn't want to worship a common man because that would be like an idol or something. But, you know, he's in a different context. I've always, that's the part I've kind of always had a little trouble with, is should I be worshiping him as I do the Father? You know? Because, you know.
I would say yes.
Well, I think it, does it say, and the angels worship him?
It says they worshipped him. I mean, it says the men worshipped him.
Yeah, it's like, I think there might be different aspects of worship in there.
Must be.
You know?
And if he is filled with the fullness, then maybe he is worthy of worship.
Well, and if he's
it would be the thing that he's filled with that is.
Yeah, and if it gives you eternal life.
Yeah, right.
Goodness, you know.
Yeah. Well, it might be. You know, there in John 17, I and them and us, you know, it's just a conglomerated mass of us and Jesus and the Father. So maybe the distinction between man and God at that point, the boundaries sort of evaporate.
Well, I wonder if like. When Peter healed, you know, he says, no, don't, you know, worship me. I'm a man like you are. Well, with Jesus, you're not worshiping him as God. You're worshiping him as a man who got you to God, as a man who did the perfect sacrifice, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a different context there with worship.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Where does it say that it says he thought it not robbery?
Is that maybe in Hebrews?
That's Hebrews, isn't it?
Is it Hebrews?
Or else it's what was the other one?
Was it Philippians?
Philippians.
Yeah.
Philippians.
Is that it? There was something I thought was Hebrews, turned out to be Philippians.
Yeah, it was. I mean, because if Peter was doing the same thing Jesus did by healing, well, then why wouldn't you, you know?
Yep.
But he said, no, this power comes from, you know, not through me.
Yeah. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Being in the form of God. Who? Being in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
I'd like to know what that says in some other translations.
Well, we read it the other night.
And I think it wasn't not, the meaning wasn't really altered in any significant way.
No, just only one of them, I think, was that Berean one was way off, wasn't it? Compared to the others? Or not the Berean, but the. What's the one that you.
The message thing?
No, the one that you always grabbed there. Geneva.
Oh.
It says, and being found in fashion as a man. It's like that's really not easy to understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, remember that's the one.
Yeah.
I always have the hardest time. There it is.
But see, there's a word that is used repeatedly through the Bible, which gives us an understanding of the humanity. This is in verse 7. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
You know, it's weird. Yeah, it's like,
that shows that God made him who he is, or what he is.
But in the New King James,
yeah,
it's a little different.
What does it say?
It says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men.
Coming in the likeness of
men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even the death of the cross. Which, because then, but then if he's, see if he was God, then why in 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So, you know.
Yes. You know, it may be that the Bible is surely true, but it might not have the whole truth. There's more. We're to still have some questions, even, I don't know. Book of John says that it tells you, well, there's a whole lot more I could tell you, but what I'm telling you is what you need to get saved. Well, maybe in that same way, we don't need access to all the truth that there can be about something. We come away with some areas of question, but we can still be saved. I don't know.
There's some real interesting things in this word.
Best book you've read in quite a while, huh?
The more you read it, and the more you hear it, the more wonderful it becomes.
Hmm.
That's why it says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God. You know? And there are a lot of people that like God's Word, but that's not necessarily their chief delight. And that is what it is becoming to us. Mm-hmm. And a blessing for to hear that Sheila has been listening constantly. So Pablo, you got a player just like I have, with that little thumb drive or whatever it is. I can't believe the whole everything that I just do on that little thing.
Well, it's down to the electronic. You know, an electron is a small thing. So.
And there's no moving parts, Pablo said.
No, right. It's not mechanical. It's digital.
That don't make sense. It don't ever wear out because there's no moving parts. That makes sense to you?
Well, to the extent that it makes sense is real vague sense that it makes sense. But, it's not mechanical parts. It's
we're just talking that Pablo says that in that machine that I have, he said there's no moving parts. And I told Charlie, does it make any sense to you? How can that be possible?
It's a moving part.
What about
batteries?
Do you have batteries?
No, well, you plug it into the.
So it has current. But
it has current.
I think what he's saying is there's no disc turning.
There are no gears that are.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense.
Well, it's kind of like your laptop or your phone. What's moving in there, you know?
I don't know.
It's electrical current. I mean, that is moving.
Electrical current is moving, sure. Right.
He's the analog man.
You know, that sitting there in Philippians is kind of, it's like, well, is it saying he's a man or isn't it?
I know.
You know, that particular setting. And that's Paul, isn't it, writing to the Philippians?
Yes, it is. Paul and Titus.
Why does he use those kind of words? I mean, what I'm wondering is it saying that he is man when it says he came in the likeness of man? You know?
Yeah.
You know, my thought is, well, it's just saying he looks kind of like a man. But maybe I'm reading likeness wrong from what he received it to be, you know?
You know, I don't believe that being a scholar of a Greek scholar is going to help you become, you know, discover spiritual truths that you wouldn't discover otherwise. But sometimes it'd be kind of nice to be a Greek scholar, you know, find out what those words, what that is, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, you know, made in the likeness of man, that makes a little more sense to me in a way. The king used it, but this is a new case, so why did they feel like they had to say, and coming in the likeness of man? And then I'd like to see what some of the other ones say. But I thought we read that the other day. I don't know if we picked up on that. Very
I don't think we did. The difference may even come, right?
Yeah.
I know. Right. And there's a big difference. Somebody comes was there before he came.
Yeah.
Someone who's made wasn't made before he was made.
One that gets me is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God,
that's right,
did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
Makes us equivalent to whatever it is that's.
Yeah, can we say that same thing? Well, yeah, I could be, but I don't want to be equal with God.
Well, we haven't reached that point yet.
No.
But that's why I appreciate what it says in John 16:13, where it says the Holy Spirit will guide you.
Yes.
Into all truth.
Yes.
It eventually begins all the scriptures added together begin to make sense.
Right.
They give you the picture.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, if you continue in my word. And he said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. If you continue in my word, every word.
You know, I think I just got, I think a little insight just popped in. Well, it doesn't say coming in the likeness of God.
No, that's right.
So if you kind of reverse it, it's making the point that he's a man. He's a man.
Or being made. It fits too, because God, of course, God made him.
Right.
Yeah. There is more for us to know.
Yeah.
there in John 17.
There's a truth.
Us and them, and thou and me, and you know.
Oh, you mean you don't understand that?
No, I don't. But it doesn't sound as though there's much of a boundary between, you know, it's all enmeshed in a single substance somehow, kind of, you know, man, God, you know, it's all, you know, stirred up, you know. And you have a single substance there. And so it may be that we will reach a point where we'll say, God, man, what's the difference? You know, what? Now, until that day, there's, you know.
Well.
But you know what I mean? You know. God, man, what's the difference? Come on.
I think that there are some basics that it may take the rest of our lives to ever even begin to understand. For instance, God said, let us make man in our image.
Yeah.
It says that, I think, in all translations.
I believe it does.
So then God made man in his image. And so what does that mean? God's spirit, man's flesh.
I think, like you're a little bit what you were saying, Charlie, I can see that where you come from. But I think there's always going to be the distinction that God stands alone of who he is. I mean, you know what I mean? The only way man can even come close is what God makes him to come close.
Yeah. Well, that is so. And yet, the cook mixes all the ingredients together, but fact of the matter is, once the ingredients are all mixed, separating, oh, now this used to be flour, this was egg, and you know.
The potter and the clay?
Somehow, it's
a difference. the clay and the potter.
Well, maybe. I am, it's pure, it's speculation.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps the problem was revealed by the Spirit, but not the solution.
Well, if we say, God has given him life, well, if he gives us life, but see, the fact still is, God gave.
Yes,
so
yes, that's
always
right.
That distinction.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the origin.
But
yeah.
From then on, who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And then the fact that we probably will always have some form of a body, which God doesn't, because he's spirit.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
So Paul is trying to, in Philippians, he's trying to understand Jesus, the man. He says, that I might understand, or that I might know him.
Uh-huh.
You know, the power of his resurrection...
Uh-huh.
That would be the only questionable thing in there for me. And the fellowship of his suffering and be made conformable to his death. I mean, that's all. It's kind of like, you know, baptism issue a little bit of it.
Uh-huh.
Except the power of his resurrection.
Well, we come up, but anyway, yeah.
But, I mean... You know, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I don't even want to go there.
I don't know. I let me say this, though. I think it is a wonderful thing that we have as doctrine or whatever, the humanity of Christ, because it requires us to do some exploring in the spirit that we would never do otherwise. You know, I think that I can safely say that.
Yeah.
Now where we end up, I don't know, but I do think that doctrine has been just great. From that point of view.
Yeah.
Well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. See what I can do here. I should get my glasses on before I try to figure out.